We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Renovation project, where we discuss all things regarding renovation, whether it's the FHA 203K, home style, the VA renovation product, or any one of seven other renovation loans that are out there. I still have trouble believing that how many consultants out there have been providing a property inspection report. Boy, I'm starting off in a great day, a great time. Who don't provide a property inspection report with their 203K paperwork? Property inspection reports are required as part of your 203K submission. So you don't just turn in a scope of work and figure you're finished. If you're a consultant in this business, you need to learn what it is. Get the guideline out, the 4000.1, and read it. Actually find the spot that tells you exactly what you're supposed to turn in. You're also supposed to be able to do a bid. You're going to create that scope of work. You're going to put a bid number to it. And then you're going to send it out to bid for your contractors so your client has a reasonable expectation. I really hate it when lenders tell borrowers, get a contractor's bid first. That's always the best. Well, what they think they're doing is they think they're making their self look better. That's not the way it's done. It's not the way to give your client the best bang for his buck. What happens, get the contractor out there, he bids the big scope. We're going to do a room addition. He says, okay, great. And he bids the room addition. I went through a house earlier this week, and they had a $168,000 bid. Well, the first thing I do is I look how big the house is. It's 1,165 square feet, 1,175. Let's call it 1,200. 168,000, that's only about $655 a square foot to build a house. I'm sorry. If we had built that bid first, then the owner would have realized this thing is about a $100,000 project, not a $160,000 project. Or $170,000 project. Now, we're probably not going to end up using that contractor. We need to find a contract that's going to be more reasonable from the get-go. So typically, on San Jose, contractors are bidding about $250 a square foot. Let's say they bid $400 a square foot. That would still be $125,000 on this job, not $168,000. So, just, you know, contractors are out there to make as much money as they can on each job. And if they're busy, they will bid high. And that just means they're busy. That doesn't mean it's a fair bid. So we'll look around, see what we can't find for this client, see if we can't get something going a little better, a little more in their favor. Anyway, what we did a few years ago is I created an app to do the home inspection for the home or the contractors, excuse me, this is not the way I normally talk. I've got the cutest little dog. She's 5 pounds and she keeps licking my toe. Go away, you bother me, kid. Anyway, the app was set out to do the bare minimum home inspection that's required by HUD on a 203K. You don't want to give away a full-blown home inspection, 58 pages, something like that. You don't want to spend 4 hours on the job doing an inspection. The one that meets the HUD requirement is a cursory inspection. Our app does it for you and prints out a nice report that is satisfactory to the program. Benefit to the lender, they get a property inspection for underwriting, a consistent home inspection / property inspection. HUD has us disclaim it as this is not a home inspection. It's not. It's not a home inspection. What does it intend to be? It's an inspection you make to determine what needs to be fixed. It'd be more like a contractor going in and giving you a bid and making an inspection, except that we have to put it in writing. Okay? So secondly, we included a 442 compliance inspection report form in this app. The app is called 203K Online Compliance Inspection Report at your Android Play Store. Didn't do it for Apple just yet. I may never do it for Apple. Who knows? But appraisers have had a lock on these inspections for years, and a couple of years ago, they were deregulated. So anybody can do these inspections that has the knowledge and understanding. And as consultants who are FHA 203K consultants, the form resembles your page 2 draw form very, very closely. You're going to be able to look at it, probably fill it out the first time all by yourself. But if you don't, I have a sample that we send out with it. So while most 203Ks and other renovation loans go off without a hitch, from time to time, the homeowner may find that they've got no one to talk to. Nobody seems to be siding with them. I got to tell you, your consultant is not your friend. He is your employee for a short time while you put the scope of work together. Then he ceases being affiliated with you. He's no longer your advocate. If you wanted to call him an advocate in the beginning, that's fine. But once the loan closes, he's now the lender's inspector. And things you tell him should be carried back to the lender, unless you're asking as a consultant, how would you look at this question? So all I can say is, if you're a homeowner and you've been left behind and nobody seems to be taking you seriously, the work is not being done to your satisfaction, it's not professional and workmanlike manner, then don't sign the draw paperwork. Because once you sign it, you're saying it did meet your expectation. So withhold your signature. That's okay to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Now you're going to get pressure. The consultant's going to say, well, it's okay with me. The lender says, you've got to sign that so we can process his payment. You need to stand firm. And that's what we do. If you go to 203k911.com, you'll find that we're there to help you. We're going to give you some education over the phone. We're going to give you some coaching so you know what to say and who to say it to. Because if the work is not up to your expectation, do not sign the draw form. And immediately follow it up with an email so there's a paper trail to your consultant and to the lender. And explain how that happened. What I'm finding is some consultants are signing the paperwork blank and then sending it off for the contractor signature. Do not, if you're a consultant, do not sign anything first. Sign it last. Here's why. You get out there, contractor's got column 3 filled out, he's got it signed, now it's a draw request. Now you and the homeowner walk through there and see if these things are completed in a professional and workmanlike manner. And if they're not, you don't sign. You refuse to sign, or you scratch a line item out and in column 4 put down what you're willing to pay for this work. And it may be zero. I just put a line through it, and that zeroes it out as well in column 3, if that's the situation. I had one contractor years ago that insisted, it's done, that's all I'm going to do, I'm not going to do it any better, I'm not going to do it again. That's all right. He's already signed it. I put a line through it, submitted it for payment, and when it came in, he said, hey, that thing was short, you didn't pay that item. I said, that's right, it's not done in a professionally workmanlike manner, and it won't be paid. And that's what I told you at the time of the inspection. Yeah, so the next time I go out there, it's still not done, but he requested again. I put a line through it again. Finally, he looked, and he says, you're not going to pay that until I redo it, are you? I'm not going to pay it until you do it properly. That's correct. And that is very sharp of you to catch on to that, with only 2 times of slapping you in the nose about it. He said, Bill or George, get over here and redo this thing. Do it right, dang it. And that's kind of what we are. That's what we do. So if you're not doing your job, if you're not doing this, you're not doing your job. You have to protect the homeowner. You got to protect HUD because they're the ones that are making sure that this loan is there and you're making sure the work is done in a professional and workmanlike manner to cover HUD, to cover your lender. So if you have to take the house back, any work that is done was done in a professional and workmanlike manner. Okay? So on with the show, okay? Anyway, we want to be there for you. What does it cost? 203K911 so far has been pretty much a freebie to most. Unless you have me write the letters and push the buttons, it's of no charge. So for certainly, it doesn't cost you anything to make your first inquiry and see just what is going on. But I found that so many people could be helped over the phone that I just don't charge unless you say, I am at my wit's end, I can't do this, can you do it for me? At that point, there's a nominal fee. I see, and I talk about this every week, but there's a bunch of concerned consultants that think this don't work for them just because there's too many consultants in my area. I can't say this often enough. If there's too many consultants in your area, that's a good thing. That means there's lots of people talking it up. It's not a bad thing. All you got to do is figure out how do I rise to the top of the group. And we can show you that. You need to take our training. Go to 203ksoftware.com, click on the training link, and we'll show you exactly how to do that. But you have to do it. I can show you till I'm blue in the face. But if you don't take action and do what I suggest, then it's not going to work for you. I get a kick out of it when I do show people how much how to do it, and I get these calls back. Well, your program hasn't worked for me. I said, oh, what'd you fix? And he said, well, you did it this way, and I just change it to this, do it the other way, and then you do that over here this way, and I don't think that's too simple. That couldn't possibly work. So I fixed that, and I said, interesting. And usually by the third thing they tell me they've changed, they stop and hesitate because I'm quiet. And they, I didn't do it your way, did I? I said, no. My way works, and it's supposed to be simple. It's so simple that it works, and it works very, very well. So when I tell you to use this method, don't change it. Use this method. It's kind of hilarious to me that that people will change it without trying it. So anyway, we had a little bit of technical difficulties getting online this morning. And we apologize for that, but let's see what else we got. If you've got a topic that you'd like to discuss in specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, then again, go to 203k911.com, scroll down to the contact form, fill it out, and we'll give you a call back, or you can give you a time that you can call us, make a phone appointment, if you will. In the meantime, in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to a mortgage lender, client of ours, and a personal friend. She won in 2018. She was in the top 1% of mortgage originations. Top 1%. And you're going to be talking with her shortly. So please call us if you want to be part of the show, if you want to have a question for me or her. We'll disclose who she is when I get back. But call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the show. Now, stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this short break.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up, all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
back with you. Again, call us at 888-627-6008 to be part of the program. And I see Natasha's with us. I hadn't said her name before, but our guest is Natasha Robinson of Guaranteed Rate Mortgage. I know she's a modest person, so I'll say it for her. She won the top 1% mortgage origination award in 2018. How are you, Natasha?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
So, you know, if you don't mind, we are limited on time, so I'm going to go ahead and get right into it. Why don't you start telling us a little bit about renovation loans?
Awesome. So a renovation loan is a loan where we will take your purchase price and the renovation cost, and we will combine that together, and then we will use tomorrow's value today so that way you can gain value and go ahead and complete those repairs.
Okay. Well, how is a renovation loan different from a traditional loan?
Well, the difference between a renovation loan and a traditional loan is just that we're adding that renovation component. So basically, once you close out, all the funds for your renovation will go into what we call an escrow, and then the seller will be paid, and then we will basically utilize the funds to complete the repair. So the biggest difference is that you're using our money instead of your money to complete those renovation repairs.
Ooh, fantastic. So I want to repeat that because there's a lot of realtors that are listening. Realtors, I don't know if you caught that, but this loan closes, you get paid, and then the work starts. So you're off selling another house. Yeah. So tell me, what's the hardest part of getting a renovation loan put together?
That's a really good question, Mike. So the hardest part is the contractor. So in the renovation process, we do assist you with the parties that are required to get you through the process. However, you do have to find your own contractor, which takes time. You want to make sure you're reaching out to your local chambers, Better Business Bureau. You want to make sure you have somebody that maybe can refer you someone so they can maintain accountability. But you want to find a contractor that can get the work done for the price you want to spend. And once you do that, the loan is pretty simple and easy.
Cool. So isn't it on the FHA 203K, isn't it? It's a 203B with a construction component. Isn't that right?
That is correct. So we're taking the regular purchase and we're adding that renovation component, which is amazing. So if you see a home that has an ugly kitchen, but you love the bones, you can purchase that house and then you can go ahead and make those repairs all now instead of doing small projects over time, financing them on credit cards, which will yield a higher payment versus a 30-year mortgage.
It's so important, I believe, that we need to live our lives as we go. We can't saddle ourselves to doing construction after the fact. When you buy a house,
exactly,
you don't want to be a slave to the house and have to sit there every weekend and work on it. That's not fun. But how interest rates, how are they any different from a renovation loan than a standard loan?
They're slightly higher, but we're talking our FHA 203K, which is our government renovation loan. My rates right now are as low as 4.375. Of course, it depends on your credit score. And then our conventional home-style renovation, which is very similar to the 203K, it's just a conventional product. Well, those rates are at 4.5% is the lowest rate we have available at the moment. And we also do VA renovation now as well, and those rates are even lower. So rates are pretty amazing right now on these renovation loans at Guaranteed Rate.
Sounds like you're fading out on me a little bit. Anyway, let's get back. What kind of credit score is necessary for an FHA 203K?
For that FHA 203K, you want to have at least a 580. Can you hear me?
Okay. And for standard, are you looking at still a 620 or something like that for the conventional counterpart?
Right. So for FHA, it's 580. And then for conventional, is a 6. You want to have a 620 to do a conventional loan.
Okay. Let's see. What kind of improvements can be done with a renovation loan?
Amazing question. So pretty much you can do anything. So we can finance as low as $5,000, and then we can go all the way up to the max loan amount limit. You can do things as low as repairing a kitchen or replacing a bathroom. If you have violations, if you're in demolition court, we don't care. We like mold. We like asbestos. We like mildew. You can actually tear your home down and rebuild it, but it has to be built on the same exact foundation that is already there. So pretty much no limits with a renovation loan. We can even just help with busted pipes and minor repairs as well.
You know, I get asked a lot about what properties are eligible. Does it have to be for an FHA 203K, does it have to be an FHA foreclosure? What do you take on that?
No, it doesn't. We can do any type of home, from a foreclosure to a regular buy, for sale by owner. And guess what, realtors, if we also have properties that you sold a client, they pay cash, we can refinance those properties and do a renovation refinance as well. So it does not have to be a purchase.
Okay, good. What about, how do you see the function of a HUD consultant on these renovation loans?
So the HUD consultant is the mediator between the contractor and the borrower, right? So the HUD consultant is coming out to look at the things that you want to do, looking at the things that you have to do. And most of my clients are not contractors, right? They've never been in this industry before. So that HUD consultant has that experience. They know the city code. They know the process of what's supposed to happen in a rehab loan during your construction process. So they're the persons that's going to pretty much be your best friend throughout the transaction. They're going to be checking the contractor's work, making sure they did what they were supposed to do per city code and per your contract. And then they're going to be triggering guaranteed rate for whomever lender you use to go ahead and cut the check and help get the process started and completed successfully.
Yeah. I haven't heard it explained quite like that, but I like that. I may use that.
Hey.
When does the work begin in the renovation loan project? Before closing or after closing? Excuse me, after closing, when can they start work?
So we can start work. It normally takes about 48 to 72 hours because you get transferred to our wonderful draw department. But you get to start that work once your contractor obtains permits, if permits are required for your county. So we don't want to do any work. Even demolition in most states require a permit. So you follow your contractor and your consultant. And if permits are required, once they are provided, then you can start the work. If no permits are required, I would say about 72 hours at the worst case.
Yeah. I noticed
after you close on your home.
If you don't get those permits ahead of time and you start the work, you could be in for a double permit fine. So don't
exactly.
Do that.
It's called a stop work order. And it's very expensive. So.
Yeah, permits are not fun anyway, but when you get them, and you have to get them, pay for them up front, because the one thing worse than a permit cost is another permit cost that you don't get any advantage of. You still have to use the same
permit.
So. Can you?
And it can delay your project.
Some of these jobs are pretty large, and can you finance any mortgage payments during the course of construction?
Yes. So during the course of construction, as long as the home isn't livable and it's a full 203K, meaning it's not our streamline, which only allows you to spend about $35,000 in total construction. So on that full renovation and on that home style, on the full 203K and on the home style renovation, you can finance mortgage payments. So depending on the duration of the job, that's how we count the finance mortgage payments. And we generally finance up to 5 payments.
Up to 5. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the property has to appraise out, right, to cover the mortgage payments, but we set everything up that way from the beginning, so that way we can order the appraisal and everything with the numbers that we need.
Okay, now the guidelines says up to 6 payments, but you say 5. 5 makes more sense to me,
yeah,
because
you
can only
do
have
six
a 6-month project.
Right, and you could do 6 payments, but we generally, so when you close, say for instance you were to close in July, right, your first payment isn't due until September 1st. So then I'm financing September, October, November, December, and January. But if you need that 6th payment, we can go ahead and add it to it, but it just kind of depends because you missed one anyway. So we just do it, like I said, the consultant will tell us how long he thinks the project is going to take, and that's how we finance the mortgage payment.
Yeah, I noticed we have a project that you only have 6 months to finish. What you said is perfect. Five months mortgage payments is all anybody should finance, at most.
Exactly, because we want to be done in 6 months, right?
As I'm an inspector, when I get out there, let's say I'm out there in the 4th month and I see the work has got to the point where the people have moved into the house. Well, I'm supposed to report that back to you so that you can cut off that next payment. because they're living in the house now. And they
I didn't know that.
We can move it over to contingency, and they can use it for construction. But we can't pay that if they're living in the house. They don't get paid another payment. But, so I tell the clients quietly, if you plan to move in, let my final inspection, my last inspection before you move in, happen. I don't care what you do after I drive away. But if you're moved in when I get there or are moving in, then I have to report that to the lender, and they make the decision whether to not to make or not make that next payment. So
I said, now you just taught me something today.
Well, can a borrower, let me ask this one, this is always asked, can a borrower get their be their own GC or general contractor on their own renovation project? How does guaranteed rate look at that?
Now, we do allow it. So if it's a FHA loan and the client is a licensed general contractor, we will allow them to be their general contractor on the job. However, they do have to sub out the trade. So they do have to provide us the documentation for, like, their electrician, their plumber, and, you know, mechanicals. They have to provide the documentation, license, insurance for their trade.
Now, they don't, they're not allowed to make any profit in overhead, is that right?
No, no profit. No profit. And then they're basically providing the bids from their contractors. So, and then basically they're paying the contractors out the bids that, that were provided. So they're pretty much just managing their own job and saving the cost of just the GC part, but not the actual renovation.
Okay, I see you here. How does a contractor get paid?
Great question. So the contractor, like I mentioned before, you know, they come. The consultant will come out if it's, if a consultant is required. They'll check the contractor's work, and then guaranteed rate will cut the check to the contractor and the client. A lot of times the contractors will try to sneak and give you this form to sign to let them get the check by themselves, but guaranteed rate doesn't allow that. We need you to sign off on that check, one, because we want to make sure you're still working with this contractor, and two, we want to make sure you approve the contractor getting paid as well because it's your job. So that's pretty much how it works at guaranteed rate.
Yeah. I noticed, what happens if we come across something that was unexpected? Some work that has to be done. Let's say we open a wall and we see dry rot. The contractor's not allowed to just cover it back up. He must fix it. So do we have a construction contingency involved in all your 203Ks?
Yeah, so if you ever watch HGTV, they always talk about they ran out of their contingency. So the contingency is pretty much, for FHA, it's 15% of the contractor bid. So say, for instance, your contractor bid is $100,000. The contingency would be $15,000. So if you were to open a wall and find a $30,000 problem, well, you have 15 of the 30 in your contingency, but guess what? The other 15, you would have to utilize your 401k or your checking and savings. You couldn't come back and get any of this additional money, which is why that contractor is the hardest part of a renovation loan. And you don't want to go with the lowest bid because you want to make sure that you, if you have a problem, it's not more than your contingency to prevent you exhausting your savings and own money.
You might find this interesting, but one time I did a job and I get a we were about three quarters of the way through the project. I get a call from the contractor and he says, when we were taking the termite, the dry rot out of the eaves, it extended all the way to the back of the house, and I need an additional $4,552. It's funny that I remember that number. That was exactly the amount of the contingency reserve. And I said, oh, all right, well, that's a lot of money, so I'll take a look at it when I do the next draw. And then he says, real quick, how about $500?
Wow.
And I saw now.
Well,
I know,
some contractors like to eat up that contingency, and that's what you got to watch out for because they know it's there. So you want to make sure you're working with contractors that are, you know, really itemizing what they're doing so you don't leave a lot of gaps for some, you know, things that can be, you know, unclear.
Yeah, they should actually put a bid or an estimate together for the additional work so that we can look at it when we go out there and make sure that it actually is needed. But this guy was clearly doing that, and I said, why don't you tell me what you're really doing here? Because right now I don't trust you very much.
Yeah, he was still in the contingency.
He said the borrower wants me to put in a freestanding stove and install it. I said, well, why don't you say that? Oh, we didn't know you could do that.
And well, I said, well, right.
If it enhances the value of the property, dollar for dollar invested, and typically a new fireplace would increase it, certainly the cost of the fireplace or somewhere close to that, then we can do those kind of things. But what happens at the end if there's contingency money left over and they didn't need it?
So if there's contingency money left over at the end, we do what's called a principal reduction. So when we close you out, basically any unused money, say for instance your loan amount was $200,000 and you had $15,000 of unused money, then we would basically just lower your loan amount to $185,000. Your mortgage payment would not change, but you can refinance right out of the renovation loan and get it to even lower interest rate, and then you'll take advantage of your $15,000, you know, basically in lower loan amount that you have at that moment.
Now, as I understand this, all FHA loans, or 203K anyway, have a PMI or private mortgage insurance. Isn't it common that they refinance once the construction is completed to get rid of that
PMI? It's very common. It's very common, and it's most important because if you, like you said, you're doing a renovation, you're adding value to your home. So if your equity position is 20%, like you've gained 20% equity, then you would lose the monthly mortgage insurance. And then in addition, if you have unused contingency, you're financing a lower loan amount. And then on top of that, renovation loans are risky, right? So risk yields a slightly higher interest rate, but not what you see with your hard money lenders and things like that. And we didn't talk about origination points, but we don't charge like a whole bunch of stack or junk fees just to get this loan done for you. So you have a low cost and a low interest rate loan. And like you said, you can refinance it to eliminate mortgage insurance, to take advantage of your lower loan amount, and also to get a lower interest rate. So pretty cool.
What we found over the years is that once you, as the loan officer, you make the loan, and then you kind of turn it over to us until we get the construction finished. One of the things I like to do as a consultant, is send you back a notice, this is the final draw, so that you have the opportunity to go back to those people and show them how a refinance right now would save them interest rate. And with the money they didn't pay or use on their contingency, it looks kind of like they paid it down a little more, so they have more equity. And it makes good sense many times to refinance and get rid of that PMI.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we appreciate that, Mike. We also get a copy of the final appraisal, so that kind of alerts me that the project has been completed well. But we like as many reminders as we can, because we want to save the client the most amount of money as possible. So the sooner we do it, the better for the client.
Well, that's one of the reasons that you're in the top 1% of loan originators.
Thank you.
I want to let you know that we appreciate your business, and thank you so much for joining us today. Don't be surprised if someone calls you looking for a loan later this week. Well, a lot of lenders say they can do. Well, a lot of lenders say they can do the 203Ks or they're 203K lenders, but there's not a lot of them that can walk the walk. And I tell you, my listeners, Natasha is one of those that can walk the walk. She doesn't just talk the talk. So
I always say FHA 203K all day. So I do about, 8 to 15 renovation loans on a regular basis. And if you guys ever need to reach me, you can reach me at 312-792-9295.
There you go. Now, you say you do 8 to 15 on a regular basis. In what time period? Is that a month?
Yes. So we do a lot of volume. So I specialize in renovation loans. So we practice renovation loans. We have our own processors, our own underwriters in-house. We have our own draw department. So we're not winging these loans. And I myself took a 5-unit and turned it into a single family in Chicago. So I know all of the pains. I know what it's like. Being in that role, I'm a landlord as well, so I just bring a lot of experience to my clients, and it's not about me closing your loan, it's about me helping you get into the right loan and the right process and program that's going to make sense so you can have a successful project, which is very important.
Fantastic. Well, let's get a lot of those done this month and next month and the month after that. We really appreciate your business, and thank you so much for being with us today.
You no worries. You have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. For your listeners, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. If you have questions for Natasha, you can go to one of my websites, 203konline.com. Go down to the message board, and I'll be happy to forward that to her or forward you her email. I think it's natasha.robinson@rate.com. I believe that's what it is. It may not have a dot between her names, but anyway, we're going to be right back after this short break, so stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Welcome back. Welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. We're happy to have you. Anyway, Natasha's been a client of ours for, 8 or 10 years. It seems like we did our first one about 8 or 10 years ago, maybe longer. But I love to have clients that are very knowledgeable and can close these things in 30 days or so. A lot of apprehension when lenders tell everybody that, hey, we're going to get contractor bids, get way out ahead of this thing, get contractor bids. And so they get a contractor bid, and the bid, the contractor is for the renovation, maybe a remodel kitchen. But they forget some of the other things that have to be added. I did one this week, and they didn't have GFIs, so we have to put GFIs in the kitchen and bathroom. They didn't have... Well, they had a CO detector, but it was wrapped up in a with the wire around it and sitting in a closet, so they're going to install that right away. Smoke detectors are not the kind that set off additional smoke detectors. So those are very special, and they're very good. And they don't necessarily have to be hardwired, but many of them are. So real estate. Realtors, pay attention. Agents, pay attention, because the 203K is not something to stick your nose up at. There's so many advantages to using the 203K. One of the big advantages is if your appraisal comes in low. So if your appraisal comes in up to 10% low, what are your options? Option one would be, let's go ahead and renegotiate the sales price. But if you've already got a signed contract, are you really sticking your neck out to lose this sale altogether by asking the seller to come down? You certainly should do it. It's your obligation to just let them know that the appraisal came in low. So try to get that down. And if you can't, ask them if they'll split the difference. Can you come down halfway? And then we'll come up halfway and make it a negotiation again. But be careful. Don't lose the deal. The 203K has an additional 10% bump on the appraised value. So if you got a house and it appraised for $250,000, the appraisal comes in at $230,000, you could try to negotiate that, see if they'll come down $20,000. And if they won't, see if they'll come down $10,000 and meet you halfway. And if they won't, the deal's not dead. Because with the 10% bump on the $230,000, that would be $23,000. You only need $20,000 to get it back up to the sales price of $250,000. And that's the way it would work. It would come up to the $250,000 price. It doesn't go to $253,000. But the idea is that it can save a deal for you. Maybe it'll save a conventional deal for you. So if you've got a conventional loan, the appraisal comes in 10% low, or like this example we just showed, $250,000, and the appraisal comes in at $230,000. Flip it, change it to an FHA limited 203K loan. a limited 203K loan because there's no minimum. Now, our guest, Natasha, mentioned that there is a $5,000 minimum requirement of must-do work. And after that, there's no limit. You can do as much work as you want to up to the loan limits. You can go over the loan limits if you're putting more down. So, anyway, I put a book together a few years ago that was intended to be a consultant's guide. And it includes all the HUD forms the borrower's going to sign. It may be the only time they ever read them. But loan officers, I'm going to have to send Natasha an email. But loan officers are supposed to give out certain information in time for the borrower to read and understand it before it closes escrow. And so many times we find that they don't all do that. I'm sure she does, but they don't all do that. So we made it part of our consultation. We get those forms, and we go over them. We don't just hand them a stack of papers and tell them to read and understand this. What we do is we go over the parts that are misunderstood by most borrowers. There are items in that paperwork that the contractor really should be seeing and doesn't. But we tell the borrower, you can't make changes in the scope of work. If you do need a change, you're going to do it through a change order. And don't start making changes from day one, because that money's got to be there for unexpected issues that may crop up. Unexpected issues, not for something you want to change differently. Just read the book. It tells you. And then also in the book, I give these books away to fire departments. Policemen, when I see them on the street, if they're having lunch, I don't go bother them when they're in a shootout. We've only had one shootout in our career, but that was one too many. They were having a shootout at the house next door and told us, you can't leave. We were trying to do an appraisal at that time. I had two employees out there, and they called me and said, we're not going to be in on time. Police just told us to stay inside the house until they get the bad guys out of the house next door, and there's gunfire. I said, go get in the bathtub and lay down. That's about the only safe place, unless it's plastic or fiberglass, and then there's no safe place. Get behind a beam or something in a doorway. Anyway, it doesn't happen all the time. I'm sure when you're in the top 1% of mortgage origination, and getting awards for that you're doing things right more often than not. So, I see we're up against the clock again. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. So please call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free, be part of the show. Ask your questions, enter the conversation, share something interesting that you think our listeners might want to hear about. In the meantime, we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned, and when we come back, we'll work till the end of our show.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome back. I forgot that. I'll let you know where today's broadcast is coming from, our Las Vegas offices. Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's about 100 degrees outside. Not bad at all for Las Vegas. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Share stories with us. Let us know some of your interesting ones. I got to tell you, one of the most interesting and profitable 203Ks we ever had was in Danville, California. This young lady had purchased a home that was just a bungalow. I think it might have had, it might have been two bedrooms. I don't know what it was before. You could see the master bedroom. They kept it behind the house and built a beautiful home, 4,600 square feet, under the 203K program. Actually, they built it under no program, just they were funding it out of pocket. And then when the lady got in trouble, she called me out and said, is there anything we can do? I really got this thing screwed up. And we looked, and you could see the original old house. I have beautiful pictures of that. And the new house doesn't look anything like the old house. The old house was probably around 800 square feet. The new house was 4,600, included the master bedroom off of the original home. The problem was the builder took advantage of the client and put a post to support the upper story right in front of her main front window, about 12 inches in from the window. And his explanation was, you can hang pictures of your family on that. And every time you look out your front window, you see your grandparents and your mom and dad. And it's just a wonderful post. Not. So we came in, we brought another contractor in who became a good friend of mine. He saved the day. He did it for the money that was left. The other contractor filed a lien. And we said, great, that's fine. We're going to have to hold off closing the loan because of the lien, but the lien will go away in 90 days. In California, if they don't perfect it and get you in front of a judge in that 90-day period, they lose all lien rights. You don't owe them any money. That's what he did. He ended up threatening the lien, and he filed a lien, and then he didn't perfect it. So things just happen sometimes, and liens are not necessarily the end of the world. But they put in $347,000 into that project over what they had already a mortgage for. So, and the contractor, the new contractor, finished that house. It was beautiful. Double staircases going up. You walk into the front double door, and you're standing in a facing their living room, and this beautiful roundish staircase up from the right and the left. Lots of tile. They were Hispanic and they loved their tile. They had a lot of tile floors most everywhere. Real plush carpeting upstairs in the bedrooms. But it was a nice thing. They had, I think it was $2.1 million appraisal, and they were into it for $629,000 at that time. Today, the loan amount in that area is $679,000 for FHA. Another deal we did was in the El Cerrito Hills, built on a steep downslope to the rear. And it was, when it was built, there was nobody seemed to consider the three-bridge view that included the Bay Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, the San Rafael Bridge, as well as the Berkeley Marina with all those sailboats and Treasure Island. But sailboats, a harbor with sailboats is a beautiful view for many people. But here we go. The houses on that street, and hundreds of them on the streets on that hillside that all face this potentially fantastic view, were the kitchen was built in the back, and the window for the view was out of the kitchen, and it was like 2 foot wide and 3 foot tall. How stupid is that? Today it wouldn't even be heard of. Nobody would build on a hill like that with that beautiful view, three-bridge view and so forth, without taking advantage of it. Views out of major rooms have value. They don't have value out of your kid's bathroom. They don't have value so much as your kitchen. You're washing dishes and you look out there and you see a bridge. You got to step to the right to see the bridge to the left, and you got to step two steps to the left to see the bridge on the far right. But if you had, like this client's bought that place. I want to say they paid about $400,000, and the renovation was about $300,000. But the first thing they did was move that kitchen out of the back and pull it way up to the front of the house. So now instead of walking into a big living room, you walked into a hallway. And that hallway went past the kitchen and then opened up into the living room. And they put a solid glass windows across the rear of that house, across another master bedroom was on the right side. So they came over there and put that continuation of that glass, and the glass butted. One piece of glass butted the other piece. So there was literally no obstruction, no post obstructing the view. So we had to put a beam across there, a nice I-beam to carry the weight. But it was a beautiful home when they finished. I think his appraisal came in at about $1.6 million for a house he just paid $400,000 for. Mainly it was due to that view. So we had one that contained a large barn and a garage at the rear of the home. Perfect for the buyers who run their business out of their house. The home had a large living room with a pool downstairs. It was kind of unsightly because it was in the living room. So they took that out and put a real staircase there. So they still had, it took room out of the living room, but now they had to gain an entire room because the attic had a very high ceiling. It's interesting to me to see some of the ideas that the clients come up with as to how they would like to renovate it. Now, they took a wall out and made a great room's feeling. So, yes, the staircase took a little room in the living room, but when you took the kitchen dining room wall out, it opened right back up. So they renovated the kitchen and the bathrooms. It seems like we had to do some foundation work on that one. But this guy put together screens, screen doors and screened vents, and when I came back for the final draw, he had a crawl space and he had a large black screen over it. And I said, aren't you afraid that somebody's going to get that open that or kick it open and get animals living under your house? He comes over and hands me a bat. He says, go ahead and hit it. You've got to be kidding. So I hit it lightly, as you know I would. I don't want to break it. He said, oh, give it to me. And he hit it really hard. And it did not. It just deflected the bat. This new screens they have are fantastic. I remember years ago, a friend of mine was in Michigan, and he represented a steel company that had this new steel. And in that steel, they made a screen. And they were replacing the bars in prisons, on the outside of the prisons, where they had bars in the windows. They put these screens. And it gave the prisoners a little more aesthetically appealing look as they could, when they could look out at all. Today, when they build prisons, they don't make the openings for the windows big enough to get through. Your head can't fit through the hole. You're not going to get through the hole. Okay, let's see. Another one we did had a large land sale and a barn or workshop area and a home that had been stripped to the bones. A brand new septic system had just been installed, but the home was taking too long to complete, and the owners decided to sell it to our buyer. The new buyers were forced to install a new septic tank and replace the brand new one that was just installed because it changed hands. The original septic tank that was put in new fulfilled the requirements as of the day they put it in. The law changed a month later, so when they finally sold the house, the new buyers had to put a whole new system in, almost twice as big as the original one, for a tiny house. It just didn't make any sense to me and seemed to be more of a political issue than anything else. I hate that when cities don't work with you, but I see it all the time. These people run a hospice for large, older dogs. So if you have a large dog and he's coming near the end of his life and you no longer want to watch him deteriorate, but you also want him to have the life he should have until he dies, these people would take that large dog in when I was there the last time, it seems to me they had some Belgian mountain dogs and a couple of, what do you call, St. Bernards, and maybe a Great Dane. But they specialize in the very large dogs. Then we had another one, which became was a horse property. Large, had three or four barns, and they did the same thing. They had a hospice rescue for horses, a horse rescue, not just a hospice for old horses, but a horse rescue. So if a horse has been mistreated, and they would take it in and make sure it got it's fed properly and raised the rest of the way. So let's see, realtors, I got to pay attention. I think I got time for this. When inventory gets low, this is a viable solution to many home buyers. Adding on to your home, make it fit the buyer's needs. This could make the difference between an average realtor and an exceptional realtor, providing your client with the home they're looking for, even when it isn't readily available. I think that's cool. You must be looking for your inventory. You're going to start looking for your inventory differently than you may have ever looked at it before. I love it when I get a rookie that's never sold anything yet, and I can show them the potential of a 203K. In any case, the work all starts after it closes, after commissions are paid, and so forth. So realtor gets paid and goes on to the next sale. Can you imagine if you took a list, you got the neighborhood, you got the house that people want, they give you this list, and you find the closest thing to it, and you take them to it, and you say, now, I know this isn't exactly what you want, but I'd like us to make a list of the things you do like here and the things you don't. Well, that don't like list becomes your scope of work. So if they say, well, it's it's beautiful and it's in the right neighborhood, but it only has two bedrooms and we needed four. So add two. You might take that upstairs and add a Jack and Jill bedroom. There's a lot of things you could do. So that list, the deficiency list, becomes the things that are your scope of work items. REO Realtors, provide us the addresses of your hardest-to-sell properties, and we'll give you some marketing ideas to help you sell those houses. Now, I know a lot of REO Realtors that are marketing these properties, they don't do anything except list them, and then they sit back and let them sell. And if they don't sell, it's no skin off their teeth. How would you like to be different? How would you like to actually sell homes that nobody else can sell, those unwanted properties? We can even do manufactured homes with some minor stipulations. They have to have been built after June 30th, 1976. Some say after July 1st. Well, it's July 1st or after. You can fix them up, too. So, I'm shocked that more people in Ocean County, New Jersey, aren't using renovation loans to fix up all those houses on the beach that Sandy removed. So, you know, if I got any interest from Ocean Beach, I might just come out there and physically get those started for you. So that's crazy. Anyway, I appreciate you tuning in today. I hope you got something out of Natasha's portion of the show. I'm dropping phones. But thank you for being with us today. Join us next week, Sunday, between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This broadcast, again, is coming to you from our Las Vegas, Nevada office. We look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions and plan on calling in to the program. In the meantime, may God bless you.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.